every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, second Saturday of the month. If you follow along with our home maintenance calendar, you know we are talking trees. We're going to be talking about watering depth and also the tree of the month. We're joined by our Talking Trees host, John Eisenhower, ISA Certified Arborist. Integrity Save a Tree. And you've got quite a panel of guests in with you today.
Having alongside me today my right-hand man, Stephen Price, our assistant branch manager, soon to be our branch manager at Integrity Tree Service these coming couple of months. He's riding shotgun today. And also I have a special guest, Peter Condon, who I will let him introduce himself because he has a long, illustrious title at Mesa Community College. Peter, it's good to have you with us today.
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, my long, illustrious title is Program Director of Landscape Horticulture and Sustainable Agriculture Programs.
I'm glad you said that, not me. And so you have an incredible urban horticulture program at MCC, and one of the main reasons I wanted you to come was just to talk a little bit about that program, because from my perspective as an arborist, when people are looking for some additional education beyond getting their arborist certification, their tree worker certification, there's some choices we have across the valley to get a little bit higher level of education, and your program has been a staple program right here in the valley for some time, and it's really a great program. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, quite a few of our graduates are business owners. They're working for some of the larger businesses. So the typical student would be someone who wants to become a landscape designer, a landscape design build company, either an entrepreneur or just work for some of the other companies. Also, we focus on plant propagation too. If you want to work in a nursery, if you're already in the industry, but you just need a boost, if you need some more education to get a promotion, so that you would come to our program for either an associate's degree or a certificate.
And what's some of the course study? What are some of the course titles? What kind of stuff do you cover?
We do everything from plant biology, urban plant care, which is basically arboriculture, plant identification, which is harder than people think. You have to know the botanical names of everything and
all
identify
the new
them.
And all the new changes.
And all the new changes, which we'll talk about today. Well, some of them today. Oh, boy. We have aquaponics, where you can actually raise fish and vegetables in the same system. We also have a sustainable agriculture program. So that's really pertinent for today when people are looking for food. If you know how to grow it, you could just go in the backyard and go shopping.
And what's the typical length of a program? A couple of years?
It's 2 years.
2 years. So four full semesters.
Mm-hmm. Four semesters if you're going to go full time.
Well, we've had Steve Preeb on our program in the past, and Steve is one of your faculty members. He teaches tree biology. I know Claude Clough, another arborist here in the Valley, teaches. What does Claude cover?
Claude teaches urban plant care, which is basically arboriculture, okay, which is the care of trees.
And so, and what's your role in the program? Are you carrying some of the class load as well?
I do. I teach plant biology. I usually teach plant propagation, greenhouse design and construction, and plant identification.
Well, I'm nearing retirement, and you know I've given it some real thought about
I think he's getting ready to ask you for a job, Pete.
I know. It wasn't a job. I'm thinking of coming and taking the course for the next couple of years. I would love to fill out my background and understanding as well of trees, so it might be something I'm thinking about. Tell us a little bit more about MCC. I know you've got that a very famous rose garden we were talking about earlier this morning, which, by the way, is off limits now, unfortunately. How many roses are there?
Boy, there's over 7,000 individual plants. That number goes up and down depending which rosarian you speak to. We've got probably 650 varieties of rose in there. And now the entire 160-acre campus is an accredited arboretum. So every tree and shrub on campus has an accession number, and it's all put into a database.
So, yeah, that's a nice feather in MCC's cap is to have that arboretum designation, because U of A has an arboretum, ASU has an arboretum, now MCC has an arboretum. And it's really fun, too, when you go on campus, because you can get a map of the trees, like at ASU and at your campus, and you can walk through the campus and, you know, and identify trees and shrubs and get to know them, get familiar with them.
And because we are in Flagstaff, so they don't leave out the lumberjacks either.
No, the arboretum in Flagstaff is a real treasure in northern Arizona as well. So if you have a chance to check out any of these arboretums, you want to add that to your punch list or your bucket list for this summer as things open up and we get a chance to get back to some of our national parks and they start opening the parks again. Thank you for coming alongside today. It's so fun to have Steve and you here to help answer some of our listeners' questions. If you have any questions today and you'd like to shoot them our way, you've got a panel of experts here who are anxious to answer your tree-related questions.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And you can also snap a picture talking about plant identification. You can snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
You know, we have our tree of the month this month. And this is one of the reasons I invited Peter in, because he was the one who told me last year that this is one of his favorite trees. And I nominated it as our tree of the month for April in 2020, and which led me to pick up the phone and say, Peter, would you join me on our April broadcast and talk to us about this tree and why it's special? And Peter, why don't you introduce it? Tell us a little bit about our tree of the month.
The tree of the month is, the common name is the pink trumpet tree. And the botanical name is really fun to say. It's Tababuya. Tababuya impetiginosa.
Impetiginosa. Love
Try
it.
Try saying that with a mouthful of crackers.
And why do you like it?
It flowers in the late winter. As a matter of fact, it's just stopping now, but it flowers before the leaves come out. It's a deciduous tree. So it's just an explosion of bright pink flowers. There are several around town. Some people get it confused with the orchid tree, which flowers at the same time. But the orchid tree flowers with the leaves, so the floral display isn't as
dramatic. Yeah. Well, the first one I saw several years back, I didn't know what it was. And I saw this big splash of powerful pink, purplish color across the street from where I was. And I went over and I looked at it. I couldn't identify it by just the blossom alone, as you said, just like our evergreen pears have this powerful white blossom in the early spring before they put their leaves on. So this tree has that same really amazing floral display before they put on their spring leaves. So I put out I took a couple pictures, sent them out to my listserv with Rick Kober and his band of horticultural friends and said, help, I need some tree ID assistance on this. And sure enough, it came back as it was Tababuya. And it's been one of those really cool trees that you don't see planted that often, but yet they are available. You know, you can get them in local nurseries.
That's the cool thing. It's a small tree, so you can fit it in a relatively small house or in a townhome. It might get to be 20 feet tall, but it is available locally. Several nurseries around the area have it. Right up the street, Whitfield has it. I've seen it at Arcadia Color Nursery.
So once the bloom comes off, right about now, it's starting to at the end of its bloom cycle. How does it look as a just a regular shade tree for the rest of the year?
It's not a bad tree. It's got dark, sort of like a blocky bark. It's not a very large tree, but it's got a palmately compound leaf, which means it's got one big leaf with five leaflets on it. And that's sort of unique
identifiers. Yeah, sure. What color are the leaves? Are they light green, dark green?
Right now, when they're just coming out, they're a little bit pinkish, and then they turn dark green.
Dark green, good. Reminds me a little bit of of our orchids, our bahenias, which also have kind of a darker green leaf. And even after their bloom is off, they are actually quite a nice little patio-sized shade tree. So pink trumpet tree, Tabebuia
impetiginosa.
Impetiginosa. All right. Love it. Well, we have a few other topics I want to talk
about. And I'm just going to say something real quick. Our 800 number is not currently forwarding to the studio. It was an automatic setup. So if you'd like to call directly to the studio, 602-277-5827. 277-KTAR, where we're broadcasting live from today. While we get the 800 number rerouted, we've added a few new features that the phone system had that we weren't utilizing now that so many people are working remote, and we've got apps and forwardings and somewhere in all of that. Good. Saturday morning's forwarding to the studio
didn't get worked out.
Isn't connecting. So call directly to the station, 602-277-5827.
Well, you know, the pink trumpet tree has a unique size, height, and spread, and adapted to specific nice smaller areas in your landscape. And one of the bugaboos that we have as a company that does most of our work on the maintenance end of things, we end up inheriting some really difficult landscapes to work with. And one of the reasons is we find trees that are out of place. Mm-hmm. Trees that were not the appropriate plant for that location. We talk about right tree, right place, and that whole concept of right tree, right place is a real important concept, because once you've chosen your tree, we talked a little bit about that last month about selecting the right trees and getting the right qualities. In fact, today I'm going to be going to a Greenfield Citrus Nursery for one of our customers to just do a little bit of looking around for them to try to select the right tree. But once you have that tree that you've just brought back from the nursery and you're getting ready to put it in the ground, what are some of the considerations for right tree, right place to be sure that we're putting it in the right spot?
You have to understand the mature height and the mature width. Don't look at the size of the tree when you buy it. Even if you buy a 36 or 42-inch box tree, which is fairly large, that tree might get 40 feet wide. And if you put it 6 feet off your house, you're going to have to be constantly trimming that tree, which weakens the tree over time. You also want to know the ultimate height. There's nothing worse than seeing a line of telephone wires with trees that are cut into V's so the wires can get through.
Yeah, yesterday I saw a big line of olive trees, and they were all cut at about 12 feet of height because they had to be underneath the communication lines. The power lines were above that even, but the communication lines are right there too. So unfortunately, those olive trees had to be just cropped at a really low height.
I took a call a couple weeks ago from Mary in North Phoenix, and she wanted to know why people chop down mulberries and then let them resprout. She's like, it was bugging her to her core.
But. Well, those mulberry trees are actually being pollarded. And pollarding isn't actually a pruning type that's practiced around the world on several tree varieties and species that lend themselves to that.
And we'll continue that right after this.